A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, heard the Lord saying to me, to the angel of the church in Sardis, write this. The one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this. I know your works, that you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen what is left, which is going to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then how you accepted and heard. Keep it and repent. If you are not watchful, I will come like a thief, and you will never know at what hour I will come upon you. However, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. They will walk with me dressed in white because they are worthy. The victor will thus be dressed in white, and I will never erase his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name in the presence of my Father and of his angels. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write this. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the source of God's creation, says this. I know your works. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and affluent and have no need of anything, and yet do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments to put on, so that your shameful nakedness may not be exposed, and buy ointment to smear on your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and chastise. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his house and dine with him, and he with me. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne, as I myself first won the victory, and sit with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verbum Domini. I will seat the victor beside me on my throne. He who walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue. Who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord. Who lends not his money at usury, and accepts no bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be disturbed.
Oh. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached a place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what is lost." Verbum Domini. Those whom I love, I reprove and chastise. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. The public ministry of our Lord begins with the challenging message of repentance, and by the very fact, the word of the Lord, this word of the Lord to repent, is good news. It is gospel. That Jesus Christ, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, has not put upon us a commandment, that is to repent, which is too burdensome for us, nor is it one that was put aside after the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So taking upon himself the sins of the world, from the first sin of Adam to all those that are daily committed, to those that will occur until he come again in judgment of the living and the dead, taking upon himself all the sins of the world, the sin of the world, and canceling them, nailing them to the wood of the cross in his passion. All this does not relieve us of the obligation to repent and amend our lives. And this is where we see Zacchaeus, the example of Zacchaeus is perfect because he receives Jesus in this message with joy. After the ascension, the apostles vigorously proclaim the need for repentance. So after the Pentecost, so after our Lord ascends and even after Pentecost, that this is still the proclamation of the church, part of the kerygma, the gospel. And should the baptized, so we're in our baptism, we're forgiven of actual sin and of the stain of original sin. But this does not absolve us who fall into manifest or hidden sins from repentance. In St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and think of many of the sayings of St. Paul's letters, But in Romans 2:4, he assures us that God gives us time and grace to change our minds and our ways. He says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" So authentic repentance, the kind that moves us from dead works and deadly thoughts to life-giving deeds and living faith, is born constantly out of the encounter with the living God. That faithful love does not allow a person to remain in sin, even our own person. As St. Paul indicates, it bears with them until the time is right. And with St. John chapter 5, that we pray for them. We pray that their sins be forgiven. Sin is never and cannot become a moral good. Sin is disobedience. So charity, when we talk about loving the sinner, charity does not make evil good or sin good. But divine love can transform even the worst of situations into a good or a potential good for those who love him. So back to Revelation, which was our first reading. Our Lord advises us to buy from him gold refined by fire so that we can become rich. And you remember from Matthew chapter 6, from the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." So if we place our self-worth, our value in the opinions of anyone other than God and the saints, we'll add the saints, then we're probably in trouble. We're probably putting our treasure where moth will eat it up. And I'm sure you can hear all the rain, where the rain will wash it away. We're building upon sand. So if we become lukewarm, which eventually we're going to do, if we're honest, if we live long enough, we're eventually, please God, keep us from these things. But we need to look at the purity of our life and our intentions. And we do this always. So where is our treasure? For a time, the motto of the world was, I'm a good person. And even as Christians in the confessional, we want to do this. And part of the grace and the gift of confession that our Lord has given us is to reaffirm the goodness of the human person created in the image and likeness of God and called to live a life of goodness. But we often were... That affirmation, I'm a good person, often was trying to baptize, quote unquote, baptize sin. So sin is sin. So Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." So the Lord has created us good and for good. And the fallen world has tries to do away with that very concept, the very concept of good. So the gold refined by fire is a work of the Holy Spirit, who is the gift of love, the love of God poured into our hearts. And one of his greatest works, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which affects our will and our mind, is to inspire us with the fear of the Lord. In this gift, the fear of the Lord is a filial confidence, the confidence of a son and daughter who knows the goodness of their father and the mercy of their father. And it is not servile, but out of love wishes never to offend and is always desiring to do what is pleasing in the sight of the beloved. So we don't think as much as we should about God the Father as beloved, our beloved. You know, to love the Father with a deep and enduring love, an affectionate love, the love of a son, the love of a daughter. But this gift of the fear of the Lord, when we recognize it in our hearts and in our minds, this is one way in which we experience the loving reproof and chastisement of the Lord, leading us to repentance, that those works in us which are dead, sinful, and revealed like dross in the purifying fire are to be skimmed off. In this life, that process can be painful, but it is a work of God, of the good God. And so we can be grateful and confident that this work will bring us to a deeper embrace of our Lord, a deeper embrace of love. So our Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his house and dine with him and he with me." And so in the celebration of the Most Holy Eucharist, we have this opportunity to hear his voice and humbly receive him under our roof, just like Zacchaeus, to repent in order to see God, he wanted to see him, to see who Jesus was. And often, well, sin clouds our vision, that we don't see Jesus, we don't see our Father, we don't see the Holy Spirit as they are. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit desire to dwell within us as in their home. And so in the Supper of the Lamb, who frees us from slavery to sin and death, who separates us from attachment to all that is not of God and of his grace, we embrace his loving, his humble presence that calls us to the change of mind and heart. And in response to the encounter with the living God, we are called and given the grace for this life of goodness. So be earnest, therefore, and repent.